This show is part of the Pika Science Podcast, studying the intersection of video games and science.
Let's begin as we always do, and imagine ourselves by starting off and closing our eyes. You open your eyes now to see the Paldea region in full bloom, or as bloomful as Paldea is. Let's assume it's one of those days where it's not raining. We're right now on Moriadon or Coriadon, depending on your game, driving through on the roads, going as quickly as you can. You could feel the wind behind you. And all of the other people as well on their Coriadons and Moriadons. Get out of the way! Get out of the
Hey! Watch where you're going!
I'm pretty sure this is right of way.
I don't think so.
I was looking
at my Rotom phone, so I don't actually know.
Well, okay, tell me. We're in Spain, right? Spain, I'm pretty sure, is left side of the road. That's why I'm sitting on the left side of the road.
Yeah, take your hands and make the L, and that's the left.
But the lead,
we got to swap information here. You clearly damaged my poor, precious baby here. My poor Cyclizar. I need to see your insurance info. We need to swap info right now because you're going to have to pay for this.
Hey, guys, we're doing a fun topic today as I pull out my insurance here. We're talking about insurance. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pokonomics. I'm your host, Andrew himself, here on the Pika Science channel, where we talk about economics concepts of all sorts of different things. As mentioned previously, two things. One, we're talking about insurance today. Two, we have a guest.
I love insurance.
That's their name, by the way. From this point forward, I love insurance. That's their name.
Andrew, I have been asking you to do an episode about insurance, specifically how much your insurance would be in the Pokemon world. And how much of a pain in the butt it would be to have to get insurance living in the Pokemon world.
I understand that. But your idea to solve that is to crash my dream sequence?
You know what? Sometimes you're just on your Rotom phone not paying attention.
You know what? Sure. Why not? Anyway, today, yes, Madison has come down from the skies above / the other series that they do to join us here in Pokonomics and talking about economics concepts. As mentioned, insurance has been one of the goals of this entire series, and so we're finally touching on it. Very, very exciting. We're going to try our hardest to make insurance as exciting as possible.
I mean, kind of hit or miss. It's exciting when you think about the fact that you probably would not want to be a Pokemon trainer.
That's probably very true, especially the more realistic you try to make Pokemon trainers. The more likely insurance is going to be a big pain in the behind. But before we do that, I think, Madison, a good thing to talk about is what exactly is insurance? And like diving deep into those details, because insurance, I think to a lot of people, is just the thing you have to be safe.
Yeah, except sometimes it's not there when you need it, right?
Also that, yes. In an idealistic world, it is the thing you have to be safer.
Yeah, I mean, so the idea is that we all pool our money together. And the company keeps that money. So we are the insured, right? We put our money together, we pull it, and the company, the insurer, essentially promises us that they will step in if some sort of event has happened.
Yep.
Unless it's an act of God.
Boiling it down like that?
Unless it's an act of God, which I do know, because true story, Andrew, I actually sold life insurance several years ago as a side hustle. So that was before Masters number 2. So
when you were between your multi-masters.
Yeah, Lila was like a baby. I actually have my life insurance plan I sold to myself.
Ooh, that's
I still have it.
that feels odd for some reason, though. Maybe the life insurance itself is just kind of odd in general.
Yeah. So that's the idea, right? Is that the company is diminishing its risk by pulling everyone's money because statistically not everyone can have the same incident at the same time. The difference is if something is declared an act of God. So I know that September 11th, George Bush did state that in the following days, which allowed insurance companies to be off the hook. So I know that because otherwise some of those companies would have gone bankrupt.
Right.
And I think that's important to think about with the Pokemon world, too. When you have Arceus or Giratina showing up and like taking out your city.
Yeah, that does play a role. And then it becomes another question of define God in this essence? Do you go exclusively to Arceus? Do you go to the legends? Do you count mythicals as well? Do you go Paradoxmons or mega evolutions, like the next tier of pseudoisms? And
or does your insurance company want it to be like any Pokemon?
True, that can be built into the contract itself. So going back to insurance itself, like Madison mentioned, it works best in bulk, especially when you have a large population, and it sort of spreads the risk around a community as opposed to you, theoretically without insurance, having to pay the entire cost yourself in case of a problematic situation. It's existed in the real world for hundreds, if not thousands of years. You could go as far back as to BC times with Chinese and Indian traders. Modern insurance, and the way that you think about it now, really got popularized during the Enlightenment period, where you have typically property insurance, thinking like the big event for that was the Great Fire of London, which I believe was in 1666. That property insurance was sort of established from that, and then maritime insurance during that time as well, sort of popularized by the fact that everybody was using ships to trade their goods and services, you know, getting insert spice here from insert location here to other location. There you go. Broad topics.
I'm just here to add. And I think I have something to add. Yeah, I don't have anything to add right now.
That's cool. I think as well, most insurance companies typically specialize in a specific type of insurance or a few types of insurance because each one has effectively their own formula. And formula is not to be like a basic, here's one variable added in. It's multiple scales and levels of variables involved into it to each of these separate formulas, which is why you don't see like... I'm trying to think of some like Progressive doing auto. No, they exclusively do auto. Do they do much else? They don't do life insurance.
My home is through Progressive. I think Progressive does actually sell life and term policies now.
Maybe, yeah.
So a good example would be this.
They'll usually specialize in a couple.
A good example would be this, actually. So there are some companies that specialize in athletic insurance. And there are companies that specialize in zoological insurance. So those are insurances that are meant to protect against risk. So athletic insurance or athlete insurance is, and I know other celebrities have it too, like singers do, where we are insuring the player or a part on the player. So like a player's legs could be insured,
yeah,
which is absurd to think about, but it does relate to the Pokemon world if you think about it this way. If you were a top trainer and you were fighting your Charizard every day of the week, the chance of that Charizard breaking something or becoming injured is higher than if it stayed at home, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're Leon, you want to guarantee that if Charizard becomes injured, you are not losing out on prospective future earning. And so you insure your Charizard.
Yeah, absolutely. For a second there, when you were saying, if you're fighting your Charizard, I'm like, Leon's out here hunting his Charizard to train him.
He's like, what is it? Oh my gosh, is it? I can't remember. Damon from the Digimon Savers. It's a Digimon series where
the references that's popping over.
So in this Digimon series, the main character punches like mega level Digimons in the face.
That's
like full on
Digimon is wild.
Full on Ash Ketchum punching Mewtwo style.
Oh, beautiful. insurance as a whole is sort of like a risk-reward balance for the insured itself. So think of the individual. In this case, let's use Leon, perfect example. If Leon's looking to get insurance, he's looking at this as a risk-reward sort of balance here. He can either try to save money by having a cheaper or non-existent insurance plan, or he can be more secure by getting a slightly more expensive plan. And then there's a whole different topic about reinsurance, where insurance companies get insurance on their own insurance that they're getting out, if that makes any sense. We're not going to talk about that. That's overtly complicated. And insurance, the part of the reason why I've been avoiding it for this long as it is because insurance is a very complicated topic. And I think we as a society do a great job of taking a concept that is relatively easy to understand and complifying it like we do with the tax code.
Hey, you stop. That tax code wouldn't have to be so tricky if people didn't keep getting angry at billionaires for not paying their part.
True. But also, I can complain about both. Very true. But I will still complain about the complexities of both.
No, I mean, I agree. As someone who wishes we had direct, direct taxes like Europe does.
Mm-hmm. That could be another interesting topic. Let us know if this insurance topic is real fascinating to you. Let us know if direct taxes is what you want to hear next. Not sure how will Pokemon spin that.
The history of H&R Block. all of the money they've given to Congress to ensure that you have to file your taxes every April, even though the government has all that information already.
Right, right. Yeah. So let us know if you want to hear that as a topic next time. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're amazing.
I think so. We can talk about the specific terminology when it comes to policy as well. So typically, there's a few things that you really need to know. The policyholder is the party that is buying the insurance. So in this case, that's you and me and the regular folks.
Or Leon.
The insurance company. Or Leon in this case, if we want to bring a Pokemon example.
I think we're going to use
the
Leon, insurance right? company. Leon's our example now.
Leon, congratulations. You've been nominated as our example. Yeah. The insurance company in this case, we're going to go with, come on.
Galar National.
Sure, why not? I was trying to think of a Pokemon pun and couldn't find one. Galar National here is the insurance company, aka the one that's providing the coverage. So Leon goes to them to be like, hey, I'd like to get insurance on my Pokemon. Let's go athletic insurance because it's probably the closest example we can relate from real world to the Pokemon.
I have a friend who has horses and they do mm-hmm. riding. So, and I know that they typically spend about $1,200 a year on horse insurance. So equestrian insurance is an actual thing, or equine, whatever. I know it can range anywhere from like $200 to like $1,200. And depending on how mm-hmm. often the horse is being used, as well as, you know, what it's being used for and the value of the horse. I am looking at numbers here. There are some numbers that say it can go up to $5,000. So, you know, Leon might be paying a pretty penny here to insure that Charizard.
Yeah, especially because Charizard being the ace, it's probably going to have different rules in their contract, I suppose. And it'd be interesting as well, is Charizard fully being insured? Is it just Charizard's fire? Is it maybe Charizard knows Mega Kick for once, so it's like
just its wings,
just its foot,
only its wings,
yeah. Or just its wing?
And no, I know people are laughing, but this happens with professional athletes, and it happens with singers too. Their mm-hmm. voices will be insured, and nothing else, just the vocal cords.
Oh, sure. It's a big thing that a lot of, especially, so I'm personally a big NFL fan. So one thing that's popularized a lot recently, a lot of rookies, when coming into the league, will pull out insurance on depending on the position, the body part that they especially use. So quarterbacks will take insurance on their arms or their legs. If you're like a player that runs the ball a lot more, just to make sure that you are covered in case of a tragic accident that can occur in a game of football that is a very relatively violent sport. So you see that happening a lot as well. What else do we got here? We got the premium. So the premium is that periodic payment that you pay, whether it's monthly or yearly, to maintain the coverage. This is to allow the coverage to exist. This is different from a deductible. A deductible is when X incident has occurred, you pay this amount before the insurance company pays the rest. So those two terms can sometimes get mixed up. Premium is like I pay X dollars a month every month. Deductible is, oh no, Charizard's flame isn't working anymore. Leon's got to pay 2,000 poke before the insurance company can pay the remaining 10,000.
Deductibles, for anyone who does not know this, typically are they reset at the beginning of each year. So last year, we overhit all of my deductible needs with appointments and surgeries. And this year when we got our first bill, I was like, wait, why is it so high? Forgetting that the deductible had reset. So, you know, we're back at square one paying off the deductible before the insurance will even kick in.
Right, right. The policy itself is the contract that has all the terms, the coverages, the rules effectively, where the insurance will and won't pay. And finally, the big final term I'll use is a claim. A claim is a formal request made by Leon, in this case, to Galar. What was it? Galar Co? Galar National. It's the formal request to Galar National being like, hey, my Charizard no longer has a flame. I need you to do the thing.
Well, and
pay the bills.
The terms might depend too. So the terms might say that it only covers Charizard if it doesn't fight water types. And so if Leon let your Blastoise fight Charizard, then he might void the policy or the ability to make a claim.
Mm-hmm.
So just clarifying for everyone.
Yeah, so terms can go, depending on the type of contract and the type of insurance that we're dealing with, it could be as granular as specific type combinations in this case, or as broad as don't let Charizard leave the house, which would be kind of odd, but also they could theoretically do that. The insurance types include all sorts of things. Here's just a few. We got vehicle insurance or auto insurance, health insurance, disability, causality, which is generally against non-property or body accidents. So the way that it's described from the sources I found were like crime or terrorism, ransom. This is like your act of God-esque stuff. Life, property insurance, liability insurance, credit insurance. There's a whole bunch more. You could theoretically insure anything if you have two parties that are interested in having a contract. That's really all you need. You need someone to assume the risk and someone to make the payment effectively.
Now, I wanted to do this episode for a very different reason, though, right? Can we get to the fun stuff?
Let's get to the fun stuff, because the rest of this is all a bunch of downers, I'll be honest.
So
basically, long story short, financial stability, compliance, risk management are the good reasons why you get insurance. The challenge is, of course, you need to find the right policy. Otherwise, you'll be spending too much or being overprepared, depending on your risk concerns and the claims process being complex. Now, let's talk about this, because the Pokemon world with insurance makes the game significantly less fun.
So I wanted to talk about this because in one of the panels I developed, we talked about, and I think I gave you some of these notes for the one that you did. We talked about reasons that you may not want to be a Pokemon trainer.
Yes, we did.
And I was thinking about when I was developing the panel several years ago about what would happen if you're living in Hoenn and Kyogre and Groudon are fighting. Because the thing is that that's going to be damage to people's houses. Like, we see it in the game, right? There are entire towns and parts of cities flooded. Someone has to pay for that damage. That, you know, those repairs have to come from somewhere. They can't just...
Right.
It's not magic. We're not in Harry Potter. There are still rules here.
Yeah, there are still laws of nature and laws of finance.
And those laws are called Kyogre and Groudon. So what I want to talk about, though, was the idea of what would this look like? So just an idea, just to point this out. Just looking at cyclones and hurricanes alone, on average, per event, over the past 30 years, as a country, we have paid about $22 billion per event. That's not even like per year.
Yeah.
So think about that. That's one hurricane. And the astronomical cost. And so, like, and I know this is something that you and I, because we're both econ nerds, obviously you more so than me, but this is something that I assume that you also think about the way I think about that. Most people don't comprehend what these numbers actually mean. Because you hear people say things like, well, trillion, but you're like, well, when we're paying, you know, $26 billion for one hurricane, $4 trillion comparative is not that much.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty hard to, get a grasp on what a billion or a trillion looks like, because all you see is just the couple extra zeros. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. And then, like, the good example is like the stacking to the moon sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which I don't know the specifics, but like a billion gets you to the moon and back a couple times. A trillion gets you like Pluto and back.
Yeah. So this is the best way I think of it. A million seconds is 12 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
A billion seconds is 31 years. Like, that's a huge difference. And a trillion seconds is 30,000 years. So to think of these numbers, like, they don't, I know our brain wants it to think of it simply like we're like, oh, well, one penny to 100 pennies. But that's like, when we get this big, it's not that simple.
So, right. It's really hard to get that scale and yes. grasp, right?
Yeah. And so that's why I wanted to talk about this because, so here's another great example. The U.S. for California alone for wildfires, it estimates that we spend roughly about $5 billion annually because of loss caused by wildfires.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not nothing. The U.S.
Oh, yeah, that's a sizable amount.
The U.S., it's estimated, spends roughly $14.5 billion annually for earthquake damage. I mean, like, again, this is huge money, guys. Like, that's what we're saying. Blizzard damage can be anywhere from $1 to $5 billion a year. Like, these are money that if you're living in the Pokemon world where some of these creatures can create natural disasters, it's got to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be one of two things in my head. Either A, insurance costs as a whole are going to be significantly higher just for everybody.
Yeah.
Or B, everything is sort of adapted into the system where, oh, we got a flood. That's just a regular occurrence. That's not a big deal. That's not problematic. The houses are already built to be anti-flood or... I don't know, time distortions are just built into the system. Oh yeah, the fact that Dialga showed up one day, that happened last year at the same time too. It's like the annual snowstorm. So it feels like it'd be one of those two things. Either costs are going up for everybody, or it's so baked into the system that it just is built in. Like, yeah, your standard coverage is going to include Kyogre, Rayquaza, Groudon, Latios, Latias coverage. If you want to get the bonus stuff, sure, I suppose we could get the bonus things like Jirachi insurance if you want, or whatever
Jirachi
additional things would happen.
Sorry,
somebody makes a wish on you and causes a problem. Somebody made one of those once in a thousand year wishes and it just happened to be against you, you know, one of those terrible situations there.
Yeah, it's something that I want people to think about. That, and I think, again, like, my whole basis for wanting to do this episode was Kyogre and Groudon. And I want to tie it into what exactly is happening with climate change, too, and the cost of this. I think it's an important thing to discuss, and especially, and I know we don't have time to talk about that right now, but especially the way the American flood insurance system works. Completely yes. Broken, completely broken. Benefiting the rich, completely broken.
It's not built as efficiently as it could be.
It's purposely broken to be inefficient. It was more efficient true, previously. Yeah, it's been broken, just like the tax code, like I said.
Yep.
So I don't know. That's what I wanted to point out. I mean, like, you know, and I think understanding that you would want to insure your prize-winning Pokemon is important. Understanding that animals do get insured, and understanding that, like, flood damage. I mean, you know, guys, sometimes flooding can cost, you know, a single incident just for your house. Like, 1 inch of water damage can cause up to $25,000 in damage. 1 inch of water. Imagine what happens when you have your Waylord who accidentally used surf in the backyard. this has to be baked into it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's my only point for today.
No, that's a good point as well. And that kind of puts a nice little bow on the insurance topic as a whole, a little crash course into it. As we dive back into our example here, Madison, I still need your insurance card. I've given you mine. You need to give me yours. Otherwise, this whole thing doesn't work out.
My Trico insurance.
That's the pun that I wanted. Dang it. I knew it was something in that line. I knew Trico. Gosh darn it.
You're welcome.
I was really hoping to find that earlier. All right. Thank you very much. As Madison and I sort of handle this sort of thing and deal with the financial ramifications of insurance, thank you very much for listening, watching, and supporting in any way, shape, or form that you do. And until next time.
And?
Yes.
And are you to tell them this is the last one?
That's a good point. I should probably mention that. Hey, everyone. This is the end of season one of Pokenomics. We're going to try to get varied type of topics here, and we've done a bunch of episodes on economics as a whole. I'm also going to use this as an excuse to gather new topics for season two that will definitely occur at some point. So if you want to send those topics our way, easiest way would be what? Joining the Discord?
Yeah, for sure. And I will say that as we're restructuring here with our group here, you know, we're looking at trying new shows and trying new things. And, you know, we are listening to your feedback and the things that you say you want us to do, we're trying to do more of, and things that aren't working, we're trying to tweak and rebrand. And I don't know, I'm kind of excited to see where things go. So send your questions our way.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, not just for this episode, but for the season as a whole of Pokenomics. I've greatly enjoyed being your host here. I hope Madison brings me on next time, next season, as the host as well, or whoever takes over. Hopefully they do just as good.
Can we have Lila do it?
Honestly, depending on the topic, I feel like Lila's got it. So.
It'd just be like angry rants about how much she hates capitalism.
That's not terrible. We definitely need that perspective on this show. That's the end of this episode, end of the season. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, watching, and supporting in any way, shape, or form that you do. And until next time. Take care.